Lisa LaSera.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome to Sovereign Mind Radio. This is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media, and I'm your host, Mark Kent, and we are sponsored by North State Consultants, Inc., the best tax prep and consultants in the business. Telephone number is 530-221-0101, and consultations are by appointment only. Today is December 11th, 2011. And we're in the studio here, and I have my sister Linda Kent is with me. How you doing?
I'm doing good, and you and Chandler, how are you guys doing tonight?
I'm very well.
Oh, the fun
good
never
evening.
Stops.
Yes, fun never stops.
It goes on and on and on. Tonight our guest is Colonel Pete Stiglitz with us. He's going to be running for Congress against Mr. Herger. And so we want to talk to him. We've got some housekeeping to do here before we get there. The chat room is open at KCNR 1460, or you can call in at 605-4567. I just want to get a couple of shout-outs. Andrew Spanfellner, we got two of our favorite patriots here, Andrew and Chad Raposa. Andrew's been sick, and we want to make sure that he gets well out there. Take care of yourself, buddy. And Chad, I believe, is on the mend. I haven't talked to him lately or got any
No, I haven't either, but the last I heard that he was up on his feet and ready to roll.
He was ready to rock. There you go. Your country, your children, and your grandchildren need you to get involved now. What's it going to take to pry your butts up off the couch? How bad does it have to get before you start doing something? This program wants to give you as many solutions as possible. You need to start by educating yourself on the issues. Talk to your neighbors and go to a Tea Party meeting. Check out the website. See what you can do to protect yourself and your family from big out-of-control government. If you have any questions, again, please feel free to call in. That's what free speech is all about. Our number here is 530-605-4567 in the studio, or go to the chat room at kcnr1460.com. Couple of reminders. Reading Tea Party meets every Monday night at 6 p.m. at 2570 South Bonneview Destiny Fellowship. This Monday evening will be a special guest, Rosa Quarry, and she is from Democrats Against UN Agenda 21. So that should be a don't-miss event. It should be very interesting. They stand for limited government, fiscal responsibility, and adherence to the Constitution. I wanted to do a couple quotes, and then we'll get an AMVET update if we can. First quote is, "Mankind will never see an end of trouble until lovers of wisdom come to hold political power, or holders of power become lovers of wisdom." And that's Plato from The Republic. The next one is, "Politics is supposed to be the second oldest profession. I have come to realize it bears a very close resemblance to the first." That's Ronald Reagan. So with that, have you got any updates on the AMVETs that we want to talk about?
Well, I just wanted to put it out there that I'm starting a women's auxiliary through AMVETs Post 4. And so if there's any ladies out there listening, we sure could use you. We do a lot of different things to help support the veterans. And we just did our Christmas dinner, and it was great. So just come down and see us. I meet on the third Wednesday of every month at 5:30 p.m. at Tobacco and Brew in the community room.
And if they want to get a hold of you?
They can call me at 221-0101. We'd love to have more of you ladies down there helping out.
Very good, very good. Okay, very good. And that was a good dinner. The ham was awesome. So Let's see. I want to play a video before we get to our guest, and this is from futuretrends.com, and this is a silver update for all you silver savers out there. This is a very good short video that really tells a lot of what's going on, and this is what you need to know. So go ahead and cue it up there and go with it, Chandler.
1950. There are 10 billion ounces of above-ground available bullion inventories, giving the world 140 months of silver supply. By 1970, it shrank to 70 months. 1990, 55 months. 2010, 11 months at just over 700 million ounces of above-ground available silver. A collapse of 93% in global inventory. Yet demand continues to surge. Despite all the new silver mined, the world has consumed so much silver in the last 50 years. The last time above-ground inventory was this low was 1300 AD, and the consumption and uses for silver is accelerating. In 1999, 100 million ounces of silver went to electronics. In 2011, it is projected to reach 250 million ounces. However, the new uses for silver are ever expanding. For example, in 1999, the amount of silver used for solar panels was so small, there wasn't even an official reporting of the number. In 2010, it was 75 million ounces. And by 2014, it is projected to reach 130 million ounces. Investment demand is also on the rise. In fact, in 2010, the U.S. Mint sold 35 million American Eagles, which means that the 4.8% of silver mined in 2010 went to create a single coin. The odds of these coins being melted down are next to zero, as this is the most popular coin in the world. So it is safe to say the silver that was used for these coins is just as gone as the 50 cents worth of silver in your cell phone. As the Fed prints and investors begin to flood into the money of gentlemen, relative to the amount of fiat currency, there isn't a lot of silver to go around. New mines in the U.S. and Canada take 10 years from the time of discovery until they can produce a single ounce of silver. In Nevada, the silver state, there is solid evidence that mine production has already peaked. Nevada produced 25 million ounces of silver in 1997. In 2010, production had collapsed by just over 70% to 7.3 million ounces. According to the research done by SRS Roco report titled Peak Silver, of the top 8 silver-producing states in the U.S., all have peaked in production, despite all of our new technologies that have helped us extract the metal. In fact, according to the USGS, the ore grades have collapsed 95% in the past 75 years in the U.S. To put it simply, it is getting harder and harder to mine silver, taking more time and energy, both human and liquid, in order to get silver out of the ground. Right now, for every 10 ounces of silver mined, the world is mining 1 ounce of gold. Gold, however, is trading 53 times higher than silver. The opportunity in silver is epic. The paper price suppression has made silver the biggest buy ever. Silver, a physical commodity that is needed for everyday uses, is being traded on the COMEX at least 100 times more than the actual physical supply. This has made it possible for 1 billion ounces of silver to be traded every single day in the paper markets. The supply of silver has been distorted and investors have been deceived into selling silver for $30 per ounce. FutureMoneyTrends.com believes the suppression has become a gift for the average person to finally strike back at the heart of the machine that has benefited from the fiat currency system. Due to industrial uses, FutureMoneyTrends.com is projecting a physical silver shortage by 2020. Yet with the current system melting up, we believe we could see a shortage as soon as 2015 as investors flood into the $35 billion silver market. If silver during the Euro crisis is the same initial reaction as it did in 2008 with a sharp decline, we believe that due to the nature of the crisis, 2012 being a currency crisis, the demand for physical silver would be overwhelming on a global scale. As investors rush into the physical metal, we could very well see some type of silver shortage, or at the very least major delays on delivery if silver was to fall back below $24 an ounce. We are not saying that it is, but if silver was to pull back, all hell could break loose in the physical market.
Well, there you go. That's the silver update, and pretty exciting stuff if you're stacking, keep stacking. So we got 30 seconds to the break, and then we'll be coming back with Colonel Pete Stiglitz, who's running for Congress against Mr. Herger, and we'll go from there. So with that, I guess we'll go to a break.
We'll go to a break. See you on the other side.
All right, very good.
Hi, this is Sharon, owner of Home Helpers, here to wish you a safe and happy holiday season. While spending time with family this joyous time of year, keep in mind some simple signs that mom and dad may be needing some more help at home. Many families notice changes in their loved ones while seeing them over the holidays. Is the mail stacking up? Have you seen past due notices? Have mom or dad forgotten to turn off appliances or failed to lock the doors at night? Check the refrigerator for food freshness and expiration dates. And check medications. Are they being refilled timely and taken properly? For more tips and information on how you can help, visit readinghomehelpers.com or call me, Sharon, for an in-home assessment and learn more about Home Helpers and our many home care services. Call Home Helpers at 226-8350 or visit us online at readinghomehelpers.com. This holiday season, give your loved one the gift of safely remaining at home. Happy holidays from Home Helpers.
Mike's Music and Sound Holiday Sale is back. Electric guitars, basses, and amps, 25 to 50% off. Acoustic guitars, 25 to 40% off. Drums and accessories, 25% off. DJ and stage lighting, 15 to 25% off. Sound equipment, 25% off. Even sheet music's on sale as well. If it's here, chances are it's on sale. Great brands like Alvarez, Peavey, Jack Daniels, and more. Buy local and buy from a store that stands behind what they sell. Mike's Music and Sound, 924 West Cypress behind Chase Bank. Mike's Music and Sound, 243-3774.
Freedom is the only thing means a damn to me.
Can you handle the truth? Are you prepared for the coming financial collapse? Do you know why prices are skyrocketing? Do you know about the international banksters? Do you know how to survive hyperinflation? Do you believe in freedom? What are the solutions? Find out. Listen to Sovereign Minds Radio, 6 p.m. Sundays, where we always handle the truth. We're going down to Junior's farm there. Yeah, that's old wings there. That's from the vault. Anyway, we're back. This is Mark Kent and Sovereign Mind Radio, 1460 KCNR, and we're in the studio here with Colonel Pete Stiglitz, and he's running for Congress against the esteemed Mr. Herger. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine. Thank you very much.
Good.
Nice to be here, Mark.
Very good. Well, we have plenty of questions for you.
Where shall we start?
I got an answer or two, I suppose.
I guess that comes with the territory.
You don't even want to know anything about me, do you?
Actually, yeah, I do. I do, actually. I wanted you to kind of give us, I did go over your bio today off your website, right. So you've been around and done a lot of things, it looks like.
A few things.
Yeah,
few things,
I noticed, you're a retired colonel in the Air Force, I believe?
I am. Yeah, 26 years, Air Force.
Okay, and I did notice some interesting things, and I guess we might as well just get right to it.
Sure.
The UN, you used to be an advisor to the UN in Cambodia?
Yeah, well, not an advisor, actually. Most of my career in the Air Force was in government procurement, weapons system acquisition and contract administration, that sort of thing. But there was a time when I decided it was time for a break to do something else, and I actually volunteered to go and be a UN military observer.
I see.
Over in Cambodia. They had reached a peace accord with the between the Khmer Rouge and the government forces there. So anyway, I was completely out of my lane, but it was something I was interested in finding out more about and doing. So I spent 6 months over in Cambodia leading a couple squads up and down the Mekong River until we led ourselves up to the election. And
that had to be interesting.
Well, it was, Boy, it makes you really love America, I can tell you that. When you see how the other part of the world lives. And then from there, they sent me to UN headquarters, and I worked there for 6 months in New York City, working the Mogadishu operation.
Oh.
So, but I'm here to tell you something, because it really shocks a lot of people, because, you know, I spent 1 year with the United Nations, and I got to tell you, I found them the most inept, most ineffective organizations I've ever been associated with. So
I
speak from firsthand experience. If you look at my website, you'll see my position on the UN is frankly, I think the United States should get out of the UN.
Well, that's good.
I don't think it serves our purpose.
Because that was kind of my question, you know, and again, we're not here to do any ambush journalism. I just want to put that right up front. We're here to get your, you know, this is not about gotcha. I just want to ask questions that are legitimate and what your stances are and understand, you know, because I'll tell you, quite frankly, I'm not a big fan of Mr. Herger. I don't know if anybody knows that. But if they didn't, they do now.
Well, you know, it may not be a fan of mine either.
The night is young.
Yeah. It's downhill from here.
It could be. But I wanted to know your stance on the UN, and that was kind of the right words for me, because I'm not a big fan of the UN. I think that, you know, the fact that a bunch of people get together from different countries all over the world, and we fund most of it through the United States government, and, you know, we've got guys that are, you know, Hugo Chavez telling us about human rights and stuff. I mean, it just seems, you know, ludicrous.
It just works against all of our best interests.
Right.
And then, of course, as we've seen over the last couple presidencies, you know, we feel obligated now to, in fact, give up some of our sovereignty by routing all of our decision-making or a lot of our foreign affairs decision-making through the United Nations.
Right.
And they're rubber stamping, or we're looking for their stamp of approval, which then circumvents the rule of Congress.
Right.
And we just can't can't have two masters here.
Right.
So as far as I'm concerned, the master is Congress. And when we're going to commit troops overseas, that's the organization we should be going to. And I frankly think Congress has been very deficient in standing up to its role and responsibilities as far as deployment of troops and declarations of war. That's another subject we can talk about, you know, if you want to go down
probably
that road, too.
But yeah, we'll probably go down the Libya road.
But
there.
I'm going to tell you, as far as UN, just to finish this up, it's a money-making operation for third-world countries. I was there. I watched it. There's a thing called a mission area allowance that folks that deploy to these missions overseas, particularly from third world countries like, say, Pakistan or India, they send military observers over there. They get what's called a mission allowance from the United Nations. And I got one when I got over there, unbeknownst to me. The mission area allowance in Cambodia when we first started that mission, and this will shock you, was probably around $275 a day tax-free money. A day. $275 for the mission folks that were over there representing the United Nations.
Each person?
Each person.
Hmm.
And people don't know that. And it is just robbing. And that most of that money, like you said, is coming from the United States.
Right.
So the folks from third world countries that are part of the UN missions, they don't want to leave. They extend and re-extend their tours overseas on these missions simply because they go home as millionaires.
Well, and you become the servant of the master who's ever feeding you.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's out of control. The U.S. has tried to bring some order to the United Nations. They've sent teams in there, but I'm here to tell you, based on my observation and what I know, it's just not working.
So we need to get out of the U.N. That's definitely the right answer in my book there. The next is, how much do you know about Agenda 21? How familiar are you with that, and what's your stance on that?
Well, you know, I've been trying to read as much as I can about that. You know, I was talking to a producer here earlier before the show started. Sometimes it's really hard to sort out fact from fiction on the Internet, and a lot of my information, like a lot of people, comes from the Internet. And you guys know sometimes things will roll down the Internet and get you all excited, and you find out a little bit later that it's not true.
Right.
So, but of course, the Agenda 21 is a UN initiative, obviously, to, I'm trying to remember how to word this exactly, but you could probably do a better job, that basically wants to return the country back to its former agricultural self, like part of the Klamath River Dam removal project is
right.
Many think is part of the Agenda 21 initiative to get mankind out of that area there and return large strips of land back to its natural state and basically push Americans and populations
out. Well, I think what it comes down to is it's a matter of property rights, and sovereignty is connected right to your property rights, and that's going to be some defining issues, and that's what I'm going to try to do tonight is hit some of these big defining issues that are important to us conservative Tea Party members. You know, I'm not a Republican by any stretch. I'm a libertarian. So, you know, Agenda 21 is important to me. And just so you know, Rosa Quarry, who's with the Democrats against Agenda 21, will be at the Tea Party tomorrow night, Reading Tea Party. So that would be a good place to, you know, get some information on it, because I think that you're going to have to be really well versed in this one, because there's so many people in this area that this is a huge issue.
I know there are ranchers up in Siskiyou are losing their water rights by taking, and of course the Klamath Dam removal project, which is, I mean, it's obscene. They're perfectly good hydroelectric dams, and the studies are poor and not completed, and poor science. And, but it all seems to be, you know, I talked to the supervisors up there in Siskiyou County, and they've basically been cut out of the whole process up there. So you've got to say, what the heck is going on?
That's why this coordination process is trying to be implemented. This coordination process, you know, is trying to get the 10th Amendment reestablished with these agencies, because if they don't, they're going to circumvent our sovereignty. And that is not, I mean, that's going to lead to, in my opinion, a revolt if they don't do something about this.
Yeah,
so
it's getting scary.
It is getting scary. So with that, I have another question here. What's your stance on the Federal Reserve? I mean, you knew it was coming.
I didn't until tonight. I didn't know that was your big thing.
Yeah, that's what I do here is money and economics.
Yeah.
So
well, you're certainly more the expert on the Federal Reserve than I am. I've done my reading on it, and I think I frankly, the course question would be, do I think we should have the Federal Reserve or not?
Yeah, do you think we should keep it, or should we get rid of it? What do you think, I mean, about the Federal Reserve as far as, you know, controlling our money supply and so forth?
Managing the interest rates and
buying off our Congress people. And
yeah, you know, I know the Federal Reserve Law or Act was passed in 1913 or thereabouts.
Correct.
and it was to try to calm the markets down and kind of maintain a
that was the premise.
Yeah, that was the premise. Probably sounded good back then. I do I have some major concerns of the fact that the Federal Reserve appears to answer to no one.
Correct.
I mean that's a question for Mr. Herger. He's been there for 20 some years. I mean, he ought to. What the hell is our Congress people doing?
Well, I've actually, if you can go online and go to YouTube and Google Mark Kent and Congressman Herger Q&A sessions, and I have asked him this question specifically, and I didn't really care for the answer. He actually said he was not in favor of abolishing it at that point. Now, he might have changed his opinion since then, because that's been over a year, especially in light of the fact, I'm not sure you're aware of, that they did do a somewhat of an audit of the Fed over the summer.
I think I read that, but it wasn't a full-blown
audit. No, but they still found out that they had funded to foreign banks domestic banks to the tune of $16 trillion.
Trillions, right.
And, you know, whether the American public is going to be made responsible to pay that back isn't even necessarily the question, because if you're printing money out of thin air, that's devaluing the money that's in existence. So that's like a tax in itself.
Right.
So anyway.
And I think Americans are starting to wake up to all of that, because, you know, we're talking a lot more about it. You know, the concern I have is who's going to manage the money supply, if not the Federal Reserve? And it doesn't have to be them. Clearly, it needs to be under congressional oversight. So I don't know if it's a congressional committee that should be controlling this whole process.
The Constitution said that if we had a bank, it would be the United States Bank, and you wouldn't charge yourself interest. See, that's the pea in the shell game here, is that the Federal Reserve charges us interest on the money that's basically coming out of thin air, that's what's putting us into debt.
Yeah.
So it has to be, So we didn't have a Federal Reserve until 1913, and we got the income tax at the same time under the same administration. There's a good reason for that. And so you know, the thing is that the Fed in itself is unconstitutional. They had to make it constitutional by passing these acts. So in my opinion, you have to get rid of it. You know,
I got to ask, because I didn't hear your interview with Mr. Herger. I mean, where did he want to go with this? Does he want to rein it in? Does he want to bring it under
he thinks it needs to be under congressional control. The problem is that's never going to happen as long as it's chartered. Yeah. So, again, I don't want to talk too much about Mr. Herger because I don't want this to turn into going after Herger, but
just curious where he's coming from. And
yeah, he's starting to get up to speed on it, I think.
Okay.
But I also think that Congress has abdicated their responsibility to the Federal Reserve because it says that if you look at the Constitution, that Congress has the power to coin money and regulate
that's
the value
it.
Thereof,
yeah.
And that's not something that they're supposed to be able to hand over to
right.
a private entity.
I understand.
That's the issue.
Got it.
So what do you think about that issue? Are you in favor of abolishing it or
the Federal Reserve?
Yes.
I think somebody has to be in charge of managing it. I don't think the way it's currently set up as a it's not even a quasi-governmental agency. It's a bunch of foreign bankers and whatnot. So all of that has to be dragged out of there, and I think it needs to come under Congress. How we manage it from there, either congressional committee or perhaps I heard recently, and I don't know if this is good or not, put it under the Treasury Department. That might be the fox guarding the henhouse here.
Well, the Treasury Department is what produces the bonds that the Federal Reserve
is buying
and
yeah.
It's called monetizing the debt. I personally don't think that – I think it has to be abolished, and, that's something that is not negotiable.
What would you use then to manage the money supply?
Well,
or would you not?
You would have a United States bank. The Federal Reserve Bank –
they would stand up a United States bank.
It used to be that we had the Bank of the United States, and it said that all the money that they printed was only representations of the actual physical metal that was being held in Fort Knox. See,
right.
So that way you were held to a standard where you couldn't have government overspending and trying to cover
right.
the shortfall by creating more money out of thin air. And that would be directly accountable to Congress, and Congress would be then directly accountable to the people.
I think I'm with you on that. The big question I asked you earlier is, aren't we going to be shocked when we look in the doors, behind the doors of Fort Knox?
Well, that could be. Like I say, Brad Metzler did a program on that a few weeks ago. I think we got to go to a break here, and we'll be right back, and we'll continue this, and we'll talk about the tough stuff. So here we go. Back in a minute.
Fall is here. And the cool mornings make it perfect for a hot cup of vanilla maple coffee or Jack Frost, which is a rum-flavored coffee with a hint of vanilla. Yummy. All at Espresso Joe's. So, Carl, what else is going on at Tobacco and Brew?
Tobacco and Brew carries Mount Tehama Wines, a California-certified organic winery located in Manton, California. The Syrah and Petit Syrah are favorites, and the dessert Petit Syrah complements many of the fine cigars located at Tobacco and Brew. It is on sale this month.
It's time for the 2011 Toast Across America Cigars. Tobacco and Brew are offering two cigars that are not available in the open market. This is a one-time release with a limited supply of Opus X and Julius Caesar cigars. So, Carl, let's tell our friends to take a few minutes and look around both sides of the store. They're going to find ashtrays, knives, flasks, French presses, stovetop espresso machines, and so much more.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week.
Theodore Roosevelt once said, "The highest form of success comes not to the man who desires a mere easy peace, but to the man who does not shrink from danger, from hardship, or from bitter toil, and who, out of these, wins the splendid ultimate triumph." Our success in life depends on the words we choose to live by, and even Mark Twain considered Theodore Roosevelt to be straightforward and sincere. This summer, Five Star Bank has been recognized as the Small Business Administration Lender of the Year for the 21 counties of the Great North Valley. Five Star Bank specializes in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star can be counted on to be at the forefront helping entrepreneurs build their business and create jobs. Believe in Five Star Bank. Smart people doing good business. If your time is as valuable as your success, visit us at Five Star Bank. Five Star Bank. 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call 223-6652. Online, fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I didn't get the, what is it? Could you ask about the Liberty Doll?
And the competing currencies.
I think we're on. I think the mic's working.
I think
working.
We're on.
let's keep the Stones going, brown sugar there.
Yeah, we can have it in the background as we're talking.
All right. Yeah, I'm start dancing here in a minute.
Watch out, the cameras might be on tonight, guys.
Yeah, well, we're supposed to get that webcam in here. That'll be dangerous.
As long as you don't start singing, Mark.
Yeah, we'll let that one go for another day. Okay, we're back. Sovereign Mind Radio. I'm Mark Kent. I'm here in the studio with Colonel Pete Stiglitz. He's running for Congress, and my sister and Chandler. And we're asking the hard questions. So we had a question in the chat room, which was... let's see. Could you ask about the Liberty Dollar competing currencies? And I'm not sure exactly what that's HOA. I'm not sure exactly what his question is. I'm not sure, you know, what the question is that he wants me to ask. So maybe you can type that out and we'll go after it a little bit. But
sounds pretty Greek to me.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's a gotcha.
Well, you know, the Greek thing is
Let me get my Google out here.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm not sure what the a Liberty Dollar, what the question is. I know what a Liberty Dollar is, but let's see. Should the guy who created... Oh, okay, that's a good question. See, now you got specific. Should the guy who created the Liberty Dollar be in jail? There was a guy, I believe it was in South Carolina or Georgia or someplace back east, actually minted or coined some what he called Liberty Dollars, and he went to prison because he coined... The government went after him and sent him to prison because he was coining these Liberty Dollars out of silver because they said that he was... I forget what the actual charge was. Not counterfeiting, but it...
printing his own coinage.
Coining his own money, which to me seems...
Was he putting it into the money supply?
Well, who cares? I mean, you know, it's silver coins or silver coins. And as long as he wasn't trying to pass them off as United States minted coins, which he wasn't, then I don't see a problem with
that.
Yeah,
I don't know what the charge would be then.
Yeah, his name was Bernard von Knothaus.
That's the first I've heard of that.
Yeah, that might be something.
Has that been on
up
the news or something?
Yeah, it was on the news quite a bit. Everybody was kind of up in arms about that. See, because, you know, and this is what we're talking about. If anybody that we're going to send to Congress, we need somebody who understands this stuff. Because money supply, in my opinion, is the root of the whole problem. You correct that. This is what Ron Paul's whole stance is. Yeah. And there's a reason for it. If you don't understand money, you don't get the problem, because the money is the problem. When you can create money out of thin air, charge interest, put people into debt, there's two, as a quote from John Adams, it's on all of my emails, it says there's two ways to enslave a nation. One is by the sword and the other is through debt.
Well, I just wanted to let you guys know, I pulled up Bernard von Knothaus, however you want to say that, and actually I think the charge was domestic terrorist.
Oh, no.
Yeah. That's what it's
well,
saying
that's,
there.
Well, that's what, mean, if, there you go.
Yeah, that sounds like overreach, but I don't know the particulars of this thing. Now, it seems to me if I have gold in my hand, I can, if I want to buy something from you with my gold, that's between you and me.
It should be. That's right, a contract, yeah.
Okay, yeah, all right.
Yeah, absolutely. But, see, the problem is if you are, what's happening here is the government and the bank, the Federal Reserve, does not want to have any competition, and gold and silver as a competing currency puts them out of business. And that's why sound money is so important, yeah. And that's why this Federal Reserve issue is so important. And we need somebody who's going to go in there and get rid of the Federal Reserve, in my opinion.
And I think we might have a caller on the line, don't we, Chandler?
Do we have a caller on the line?
Yes, we have Terry on the line.
Terry, is that you?
I've kind of been on here for the last week and a half. That's no problem.
Sorry, we got going. You know how it is when I talk about
Terry.
The Fed.
Yeah, I know. Well, do you have a guest on tonight, or are you expounding what you think?
Well, I think we
just
have a guest.
Just checking.
Okay.
See, I really would like to know where the colonel stands on the Federal Reserve. And from what I understand now is he asked you where you stood. I'd like to know where he stands. By the way, Ron Paul, good news on that. He is running in second place in Iowa.
Very good.
But the other thing is that along with that, do you believe we need real money? And what would it be that you would do? Now, I am not a Wally Herger fan or anybody's fan at this point, but what would you do to convince me as a voter that you would be a good choice? And not with rhetoric or rah-rah, but factually, what would you do that would be something that would want to make me vote for you over an incumbent who does some things? But what is it that besides the Federal Reserve, what is it that you would do?
Yeah, well, as far as the Federal Reserve, Terry, you know, my answer was at this point, it seems to me that there is a mission for the Federal Reserve, which is to manage the money supply and the interest rates in this country. I don't like the way it's set up right now where they have no direct oversight by Congress. That's a big problem. So I would like to see it move over under congressional oversight and jurisdiction where it belongs constitutionally.
Well, then why don't you just have Congress do it? Why would you have?
Well, that's what I'm saying. They could do it.
Let me finish my point.
Sure.
Why is it you would want to just move it from there rather than just having the Congress do it, which is constitutionally true, number one. And number two, do you really understand what the Federal Reserve is really doing as far as A, printing more money, B, putting America in debt, and C, driving us into a hole that we may not be able to get out of?
Right, I understand. We pretty much talked about that earlier here.
Well, when I say
put it under Congress, I'll leave it up to Congress to decide how they want to structure that. If they want to take the existing organization and put it under them for oversight, I guess I'll have to defer to Congress to sort that out. I don't know if anybody in Congress is qualified to do what the Federal Reserve is doing now or what needs to be done. So it certainly needs to be under Congress for direct oversight and a total, complete audit of what's going on there and accountability to the American people. Absolutely.
But you don't think Congress could handle that situation?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm not really.
Terry,
to answer your question, I am not impressed at all with what Congress has done over the last 20 years. Are you?
That wasn't answering my question. That was diverting my question.
No, you asked me if Congress, if I thought Congress was able to handle this job,
question.
And I don't think Congress has been able to handle a damn thing.
Mike, well, if you don't believe they can handle anything, that's interesting because you would be one of them. So what is it that you would do that would be something that to say, hey, I need to tell my kids, my family to get behind you to be put in a position to be our congressman to represent our constitutional rights? That's my question.
Well, I mean, there's a whole litany of things I can go down the list there. If you want to be patient and listen to what I have to say, I mean, let's start with cutting the size and scope and reach of our government, for one. That's an easy one. Let's start with cutting something like $2.2 trillion in regulation compliance costs.
How would you do that?
How would I do that?
Yeah, how would you do that? I mean, you're right. We should cut that. How would you?
Well, you know, on regulations, I think what we need to zero right in right away is any regulations that are affecting small businesses. You know, those folks create 80% of the jobs out there, and they're barely hanging on. And we're helping all these large businesses with bailouts all the time, and we're not doing anything for small business. So, you know what? One of the things I'd like to see happen, I'd like to see a committee or a commission out of Congress that zeroes in specifically on any regulations that affect small businesses with the goal of eliminating as many of those regulations as possible to free up small businesses so they can start making some money again.
You know, most of it's environmentally.
Well, there's a lot of areas.
So what you're saying is that you would like to basically get rid of a lot of the different agencies.
Oh, that's another,
that we have.
Sure.
Okay, so you would start with that, okay?
That's one area.
Is that what you're saying?
That's because, one area, you
see,
bet.
Again, as just being a voter, my question is, I don't want to have to decipher where you're coming from. I want to know where you're coming from.
Right. Well, I'm here to tell you.
Well, I'm listening.
Well, I don't know how we're going to keep going on this, or
well, I guess we could move on. I think what I would ask is, if we're going to talk about cuts, which specific programs, not just small business,
yeah,
but cuts have to be across the board. Are we going to cut military spending?
Absolutely.
Are we going to cut welfare? Are we going to cut Social Security?
You know, everything is on the table. $15 trillion in debt, $465 billion in interest a year. Everything has to be on the table, including entitlements. I mean, we're not going to get there unless we go after entitlements, the Medicare, the Medicaid, and Social Security. You know, we got to sit down and seriously look at how we can save money there. If it's delaying the benefits, if it's means testing benefits, I mean, there's a whole variety of opportunities there that we need to get serious about. I think that's the problem. Nobody's really serious about any of this. They just keep kicking a can down the road. You know, I don't have all the magic answers here, folks. I can tell you I'm serious about it. I'm not beholden to anybody else other than the American people and my love for this country. And I'm ready to go fight for it. You know, Mr. Herger has had 25, 26 years to solve these problems. And that can's been kicked down the road. So, you know, I may not be the perfect choice. I may not have every single answer that makes you happy.
Terry, but I am a different choice. And I would invite you to my next campaign town hall, or I'm going to be speaking to the Reading Tea Party, I'm sure, and we can get into more, a lot more detail at that time.
You there, Terry? Oh, I guess he's not on the line anymore. Okay, well.
No, that was fun.
There you go. Okay. Excuse me. I had a couple questions here, too. Another one is, and we got a minute. I'm going to ask the question, and then you can answer it when we come back. I also am I have the understanding that you support mandatory service for all young people. And so I'm not sure, you know, what your stance is on that. And again, I've just got a few people that throw some questions at me.
Sure.
So I want to, you know, bring them up and make sure that they get answered. So when we come back from the break, you know, we can go over that mandatory service for all young people. All right. So this is 1460 KCNR, home of the Free Fire Media. This is Sovereign Mind Radio.
All my friends, I'm a low rider. The low rider is a little higher.
If you're an AARP member, it may take time to switch your auto insurance. The AARP Auto Insurance Program from the Hartford is now available through Siskiyou Insurance Services in Mount Shasta, Redding, and Burney. Call Siskiyou Insurance Service at 243-224-2345 for your free, no-obligation quote. Learn more about special rates, benefits, and services designed especially for AARP members. Discover why more than 3 million AARP members are enjoying special benefits like lifetime renewability, a lifetime repair guarantee, even a 6-point claim guarantee. You can also choose extra benefits like disappearing deductible, all at rates that can save you money. Get this one-of-a-kind auto insurance program for AARP members and enjoy the benefits of a national program, but still be able to walk into a local office and talk to someone regarding your policy. Siskiyou Insurance Services, located in Redding, Mount Shasta, and Burney. 530-224-2345 and discover the AARP auto insurance program from the Hartford.
He drove his car to the shop, slammed on the brakes, and yelled, "You've got to help me. I don't know if I'm going crazy or if my car is possessed." Don Steck, the Coachmaster Collision Repair. His car had been repaired after a collision, but now it had a mind of its own. It would suddenly pull violently to one side or the other, and he never knew when it would occur. He was at wit's end. He had taken the car back multiple times to the shop that repaired it. It was test-driven 8 times. I walked around the car and could see evidence of a side impact, which gave me a clue to the problem. "I think I know what's wrong," I said. I put the car on the frame rack and compared its dimensions to a blueprint. As I suspected, the unibody was bent through the center of the vehicle. A test drive is an opinion. A blueprint is a fact. This vehicle should have been blueprinted before the repair. And no, the car was not possessed. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
Yep, that's what we're doing. We're fighting authority here. I'm not sure we're always winning, but we're going to do it till we come out grinning. Hey, boy. So, listen, We got a couple of headlines here. Every solution to the euro crisis involves printing money. Attempts by central banks to blatantly manipulate the price of gold lower should come as no surprise to longtime gold investors. Market News, this is from Michael Hammond, webmaster, Gold and Silver Staff. Market News International reported on Thursday that the Bank of England, then the Federal Reserve, and the Bank for International Settlements mounted a coordinated selling in an attempt to drive the price of gold lower. After advancing to $17.57.80, gold reversed course, ending the day in New York trading at $17.06.80, down $51 from the morning high. The reported attempt to crush the price of gold coincides with the growing perception that every solution offered thus far to resolving the potential catastrophic debt crisis in Europe revolves around the creation of vast amounts of new fiat currency. So that ought to tell you that they haven't solved this crisis in Europe at all. They're kicking the can down the road or trying to once more. And this is from Felix Zuloff. Watch out for these events in 2012. With people having concerns about the viability of the financial system, continued turmoil in Europe, and serious concerns about the United States, Day King World News interviewed Felix Zerloff, and to cut to the chase, more and more economies will be falling into that situation. That creates the problem of people revolting. Right now, the voters and the citizens of these countries have been, technocrats run by the UN, European Union Center by Brussels, so they've replaced their elected officials with people from the United or from the European Central Bank. So that's an interesting development. Go ahead with your wreath, and then we'll get right back on.
I was just going to say that I had been out at the cemetery this weekend and helped lay the wreath out at the cemetery. And that's always a good project to be involved in. Their biggest mission is to remember, honor, and teach. And out there this Saturday, they were able to do that. They even brought children up out of the schools and did speeches.
That's cool.
So, yeah, it was really nice to see.
It was a great turnout. It's bigger every year.
Yep, we get a bigger crowd every year out there. So thanks to everybody.
Is that a national day of celebration?
Yeah,
now?
Actually, it has been declared a national day. The second Saturday of December has declared so they can place the wreath across all the way from Arlington across.
Okay, good.
And let me just add on to that for that program at the Northern California Veterans Cemetery. I was on the original committee that started it up there. We used to go out and cut the evergreen boughs and bring them back and actually make the wreaths. But, you know, every year we get several hundred more World War II veterans, et cetera, getting buried out there. It got to be such a logistics problem, we finally ended up going to the artificial wreaths here. But it's wonderful to see the community really starting to turn out for that event. It's a fun event for the entire family, and it's a very important one for the kids to participate in.
Yes, it is.
So veterans take a high priority around this community.
They sure do.
Yes,
no
they do in this community. They
absolutely
get a lot of support.
Speaking of veterans, yes. I think we're going into a mandatory service question.
That's kind of a good lead-in. You know where we're headed here.
I teed it up for you.
Yeah, I appreciate it. You know, we wanted to talk a little bit about your stance on mandatory service for all young people. And I want to, and the question is, that's highly questionable from a constitutional standpoint. And what I want to impress upon you is that I am for the Constitution as it was originally intended and originally written and not modified by, for example, the banking in 1913 and the income tax. We have to go back. We're in trouble because we haven't been following the Constitution. So that's where I'm going with all this stuff. It's not a gotcha or this or that. Sure. As much as I want to go back to the Constitution because that's what made the country great. So with that, it's all yours.
Well, I, too, want to return back to the original intent of the Constitution. When I looked at this particular issue, the research that I did indicated to me that the Supreme Court had previously ruled on this whole matter of mandatory or conscription service to the United States and ruled that it was constitutional, and I suppose you know that, and that it was within the Constitution to allow the government under its responsibility to protect the nation to implement a mandatory service program, right?
Well, in a time of war?
Good question. I don't have an answer to that in time of war. I haven't really read the Supreme Court decision on that. I just read the short summary about their decision was made that it was a constitution. That's probably worth looking into a little more in terms of its constitutionality and the decision that was rendered.
Yeah, I would look at the decision that was rendered because that could be a real problem, especially if the intent of the Constitution was to prevent the government from getting too much power and control over everyone. That's why I find that. Yeah. Now, don't get me wrong. I think everybody should do boot camp. I don't know about mandatory, but I think, when I hit boot camp in AIT, that was the best thing that squared my head up that probably could ever happen to me when I was a young guy about 20. But the mandatory thing, it creates a problem for me, unless it's in time of war where you have to defend the country.
Well, let me just expand on it a little bit. If you go to my website and you look under issues, and you'll see in there national defense. And under that section there, I do talk about mandatory service. And I also talk about it during when war has been declared, because I think everybody in this nation should contribute when we're in a state of war. Now, And that gets to another issue or concern that I have with Congress, and that is the fact that when was the last time we declared war?
Well, that's where I'm going.
Well, and that's where I went in my issues, too, because I think Congress has been delinquent or deficient in carrying through its responsibilities. You know, the president's not just Obama, but Bush as well, and his father before him.
It's the executive branch.
They are putting us into these foreign incursions, committing troops and our financial resources, and Congress is sitting on their hands, not demanding any kind of accountability. And frankly, it seems to me, after the War Powers Act has expired, that Congress has a responsibility to debate the issue and either declare war or get the troops out.
Or cut the funding off. Because
exactly. That's what I'm talking about.
That should have been what happened this last Libya thing. And many others. That's been the point. That's why I say war is a pretty huge thing. Because when Congress declares war, that's a whole different ball
game.
That
is a whole different. Now we're together as a country, and we're going to go do what needs to be done and get it solved and get the hell out. That's what I say on my website. If you go look at it, and at that point when the declaration of war is made by Congress, that's when mandatory service should kick into gear. That's what I say.
Okay. Have you got any questions?
Well, yeah. There's a couple questions in the chat room. It said, "Would you have voted for the debt ceiling increase?"
No, I would not have.
And how about the extension of the payroll tax?
The one that's going on right now, the whole argument there?
Or the increase in the debt ceiling.
Hey, you know, extension of the payroll tax, you know, we gotta find money to pay for these things. We just can't keep cutting things or giving away treats, if you will. I'm thinking right now the extension of unemployment benefits. That whole argument's going on right now.
Well, that's it. But the payroll tax is what's on people's wages. You know, the Social Security.
Social Security,
Medicare. They've got it suspended, a portion of it, I believe it is right now, until this comes up. And then they're going to reinstate it if they don't they're going to reinstate the tax if they don't extend it, I think.
Yeah,
I
would not reinstate it. That's probably the worst thing right now, given the state of our economy here. And as far as the payroll or the unemployment benefits extension, you know, again, we got to find a way to cut, and there is plenty of stuff in the budget to start cutting to make up the difference, and that's what we ought to be doing.
Right, right. Yeah, I believe we need to cut the unemployment. It's not getting any better, and you know, we still have so much that we're spending money on. I mean, spending has gone up double and triple under our current president.
Yeah.
So
didn't do very well under George Bush either.
No, I got no love for George Bush at all at this point.
You know?
So we're running out of time here. Have you got anything that you'd like to bring up here while you have the chance?
Well, this was fun. I should have taken my coat off. It kind of got hot.
Yeah, it gets warm in here, especially with the on who the caller is, too.
Yeah,
what about you, Sis? You got anything else that you want to talk about or ask a question of?
No, I don't think so at this time. I'm glad that Pete came in and we were able to get some of the issues addressed, hopefully, for the listeners
out there. It's really hard to get a whole, you only have so many minutes, and it's really hard to get, you know, everything across, but at least it's a good start.
And I appreciate the opportunity to come in here and spend this time with you guys and your listeners, and I hope they've learned a little bit about me. We got another 5 months here for the campaign to really get kicking the 1st of January, so I'm sure I'll be at the Reading Tea Party, opportunity to talk to everybody there, and I'll be out and about and fine-tune my message and some of my positions. And I'm here to tell you, Mark, that I have things to learn, stuff about the Federal Reserve, and the more I can understand about it and some of the other issues, the better I'll be as your congressman.
You know, I would highly recommend reading The Case Against the Fed by Murray Rothbard. Mm-hmm. That is a very, very good book that explains it in detail, so it's very understandable.
I did have one thing I wanted to bring up before we got out of here tonight was to remind all the veterans on December 18th, we will be giving a turkey dinner down there at the Veterans Hall, and it starts at 3 p.m., and that's free to all you veterans out there.
Well, very good. Okay, we're running out of time here. I got a couple of things I got to talk about. Reading Tea Party tomorrow night, 6 p.m. Monday at Bonneview Baptist. Rosa Quarry, Democrats Against Agenda 21. That'll be very interesting. Also, our quotes, in quotes for the week, or at least the one, there ought to be one day just one day where there is an open season on senators. That was Will Rogers. We got a minute left. Government is not reason, it is not eloquence, it is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. George Washington. You know, so that's what we need to get, you know, this government pared down. We need to get rid of a bunch of departments and a bunch of things that are just getting bigger and bigger and bigger with no restraint. So with
get back to our Constitution.
Get back to the Constitution. I think we're out of time. Nice having you in here, Pete. Yeah, we totally you. Appreciate you coming in and subjecting yourself to the gauntlet.
It's been fun. Thank you.
Very good. And so I guess we got 30 seconds here. And I will see you next week. This is Sovereign Mind Radio, 1460 KCNR, home of the Free Fire Media.
It's rolling down tracks, once leading to somewhere, like a broken down train. As stones fall from heaven, hear the rumble of war.
Thank you for listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.